recorded, or are you going to go live? You go live? Okay. Huh? Live right now? Check, check. You live? Praise the Lord, everyone, and welcome to our morning session at BBA. We did take a little break this morning due to all the illness we've had in the church, quite a little outbreak of sickness. So we wanted to take today and do some sanitizing here at the church. I want to thank all of our team who joined us this morning and cleaning the church and sanitizing everything and allow some of the sickness to move out. But we did want to at least provide our morning teaching session this morning for all of our church family. So we welcome you this morning. If you got your Bibles, if you turn with me to the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, Revelation 21, that's where we'll be taking our text from this morning. So join me there, and I'll give you just a second to turn there to Revelation 21. Excited to be back in town, just come back off of a little trip with our family, and praying God's blessing and praying a healing upon all those who have been sick. We're thanking God for all of his many blessings. We're just coming off a revival with Brother Adrian Sanford. What a wonderful time. God blessed us with three wonderful services. We appreciate him and his ministry. So join me this morning in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. The word of the Lord says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." John saw a new heaven and a new earth. "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither shall there be no more sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and they are faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and had the 12 gates, and at the gates there were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And on the wall of the city, had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Amen. We want to talk a little bit this morning about our ultimate gain, our ultimate goal. The Lord has prepared a heavenly home for his church. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep fighting this fight until I make it to my heavenly home. Amen. The Lord has prepared a place for those that love him. Amen. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning is our ultimate gain, our end result. Amen. The Bible says that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And I want the end of my life to end in great reward, and I want to make heaven my home. So we want to talk a little bit about heaven this morning and our ultimate gain, why we live the way we live, why we keep God first in our lives. John was one of Jesus' 12 apostles. He was also the brother of the apostle James. John referred to himself, and we also refer to John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And although the other original disciples died as martyrs, John died of natural causes. It was just good old age. And but there was a Roman emperor who ordered John to be boiled in oil and to be exiled to a prison island, and there he would die. John faced intense persecution, and sometimes when I'm feeling persecuted or I'm feeling attacked or I feel that all hell assails me, often I think of the Apostle John. John faced intense persecution. But it was there on that rocky island of Patmos, separated by what seemed to be an endless sea, separated from his family, separated from his friends, separated from everything that meant anything to him. It was there, isolated on this rocky island of Patmos, that the Lord gifted John with the greatest vision of his entire life. It was here that the Lord revealed himself to the apostle John. John got a glimpse of Jesus, of who he really is. John got a glimpse of heaven, and he saw who and he saw what awaited him on the other side of this life, on the other side of the persecutions, on the other side of the disappointments, on the other side of the agony that we often face in this life. John got a little glimpse, and we got to get a little glimpse today of what heaven is really going to be like. And we read that today in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. Thankfully, God had called John to share this vision with us in the book of Revelation. And we think of the island of Patmos, and we don't think vacation. That's not what we should be thinking today. John wasn't here on vacation. John was here suffering for the cause. John was here paying for Pentecost. John was here. When we think of the rocky island of Patmos, we shouldn't be thinking about vacation. We should be thinking about Alcatraz, because John was suffering for the gospel, and Jesus taught us that who suffers with me will also reign with me. And this is why John received such a wonderful revelation of the mighty God in Christ and who Jesus really is, because he was suffering for the kingdom of God. And when he was sentenced, he probably expected to wither away on this God-forsaken, this family-forsaken island surrounded by other dangerous criminals. But he had no idea that it was on this same island that God would pull back the curtain and God would remove his carnal thinking and allow John to just catch a small glimpse of eternity and catch a small glimpse of who Jesus really is. But that's exactly what God did. I'm sure John, when he arrived on Patmos, was thinking, man, here I am. They've sentenced me here to die. But the truth of the matter is part of John's life was when the Lord revealed himself to him on the Isle of Patmos. So don't discount your trials today. Don't discount your burdens today. And don't discount what your valleys today are, the things that you have to go through in this life, because it's in those moments that God can really reveal himself to you, and God can roll back the curtains of your humanity and roll back the curtains of your carnality, and God can reveal himself to you, and he can give you a glimpse of heaven, and he can give you a glimpse of glory, amen, and he can fill you with his spirit, amen. That's exactly what God did for John on the Isle of Patmos. He rolled back his carnality and allowed him to catch a glimpse of heaven and catch a glimpse of glory and catch a glimpse of who Jesus really is. As John there wrote about heaven, he wrote what he did not see. In our world, we struggle with pain. We struggle with sorrow. We struggle with death. We struggle with racism. We struggle with hatred. We struggle with violence. We struggle with crime. We struggle with disappointment. We struggle with all of the fruit of sin, all that is evil in the world that we live in. Here we are disappointed. Here we are discouraged. Here we feel rejection. And here we feel abandonment and betrayed. Here we get lied to. And here we get deceived. And sometimes we feel invisible. But the battle of cancer and other diseases. We battle with financial struggles. We battle with relationship issues. We battle with addictions of all different kinds. And then families are torn apart by divorce. And mental illness is plaguing our society. And hotlines are so full you can't get through. Domestic violence and poverty, but not in heaven. And that's what God wants to give us a little glimpse of today. Not in heaven. That's not what it's going to be like. The Lord wants to just give us a little glimpse of what heaven will be like. Heaven will be heaven because of what will not be there. And all of these things that we have talked about, They're not going to be there. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more disappointment. And this is why we got to hold on in the last days. This is why we got to hold on and make our calling and our election sure. This is why we got to hold on through valleys and seasons of disappointment and discouragement, because we have caught a little glimpse of heaven, because we have caught a little glimpse of who He really is, and we know that heaven is going to be worth it all. Amen. Heaven is going to be worth it all. I imagine John smiled as he dipped his pen in ink and he began to pen those words, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and there shall be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more crying, and neither will there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I can only imagine in the midst of all the suffering and all of the things that John was experiencing, I can only imagine what it must have brought to him when God gave him those words as he was there, stuck, stranded, miles away. It seemed like an eternity away from everything that he loved. And God has just begun to put a peace in his heart. How many know there is a peace that surpasses our understanding? And even in the midst of your worst valley, God is able to reach right down to where you're at, and he's able to touch you, and he's able to give you peace, and he's able to reveal his glory in our lives. Amen. And it's sometimes in the midst of our darkest storms, in the midst of our greatest trials, it's there that God meets us. It's there God reveals himself to us. It's there God gives us a little glimpse of what will be our ultimate gain. We may experience a few victories here. We may win a few battles here. But one day when we stand before him and he says, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant," man, we're gonna win the ultimate victory. We're going to experience the ultimate gain. We're going to say heaven is absolutely worth every trial I ever went through, every ounce of abandonment that I ever experienced, every time I felt invisible. It's all worth it just to be spending eternity with Jesus. Amen. Heaven is free of all the struggles that this world has to offer. This life is full of struggles. This life is full of disappointments. And it may seem difficult at times to fight the good fight. It may seem difficult at times to finish the race. It may seem difficult to keep the faith. Amen. And to have faith in God in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your struggle. But Paul said, "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Faith is a fight, church. Faith is a fight today. Amen. And if you're going to have faith, you're going to have to fight to hold on to that faith. But faith is worth the fight. No doubt, Paul, no doubt. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was struggling to hold on to his faith. And here he was. He had suffered so many things. And here he was, condemned to die on this island, separated from everybody that he cared about. And he's fighting for his mind, and he's fighting for the faith, and he's fighting for heaven. Amen. But can I tell you today, heaven is going to be worth the fight. We got to keep on fighting. Few set out to forget about heaven, but the truth of the matter is it easily happens to all of us. Without fighting to keep our daily devotion, without fighting to keep our spiritual disciplines, without fighting to think on whatsoever things are pure and holy and good and great in God, whatever, without fighting for our minds today, we don't set out to forget about heaven, but it happens so easily. We forget about the hope of glory. We forget about the Lord went to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. And we set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Because life is filled with struggles. Life is filled with hardships. And largely, mostly, the things that we go through are out of our control. And many of the things that we face are not in our control. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to wicked people. We all question sometimes, why do we see the wicked prosper? The prophet asked the same question. Why do we see the wicked prosper? The truth is, bad things sometimes happen to good people, and good things sometimes happen to bad people. It rains upon the just and the unjust alike. But heaven is, and heaven always has been, a topic of conversation and a topic of debate. People ask, what will heaven be like? We just read to you what heaven would be like in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. What will heaven be like? Who will be there? How can we make it there? What we do know about heaven, we find and we learn in the scriptures. Amen. From the book of Revelation, amen, it declares we will dwell with God forever in a wonderful place without sin and without evil, without disappointment. We will spend our days worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will spend our days worshiping the God that created us from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into us. Amen. And we'll do it with untold numbers of other Christians and other people who love God. People from every nation, people of every color, people from every background and every walk of life. And heaven will be perfect beyond what we could ever even begin to comprehend. Nothing is quite as breathtaking like a scenic view in nature. Like a snow-covered mountain by a lake with a rainbow sneaking down from the clouds. And in fact, all of God's creation on this earth, we are privileged today to be able to witness it and to be able to experience it. There's nothing compared. These things, all the beautiful places we've seen, whether you've experienced the Rocky Mountains or whether you have experienced beautiful beaches or no matter what it is you have experienced all across this great nation, across this beautiful earth that we live upon today, none of it will compare to what you're going to see and what you're going to encounter in heaven. Think of your most beautiful, breathtaking vacation spot, how you love to go there. And you can multiply its beauty. You can multiply its peace. You can multiply its perfection by thousands upon thousands. And it still will not begin to scratch the surface of what heaven is truly going to be like. Because then when you imagine thousands times thousands, the beauty, that's what heaven's going to be like. Heaven begins to come into view. I promise you, if you fight the good fight and one day you step on heaven's shores, you're going to look back and you're going to say heaven was worth it all. It will be beautifully adorned, precious stones and metals and gems overflowing with brilliant colors and shades. The city was pure gold, the Bible says, like clear glass. John got a closer look, amen, at the materials that heaven was made out of, and he began to write, and he wrote what he saw. He said, here we use concrete for foundations, and we use sheetrock for walls, and we use paint to cover the sheetrock, but in heaven the foundations are built out of precious gems, and the walls will be made out of jasper, and the foundation sparkles in heaven. Heaven is glorious because it's filled with the glory of our God today. Amen. And the gates are made of pearls, and of the 12 gates cut one beautiful pearl. And the best way John could describe heaven, or describe New Jerusalem as he called it, was a bride adorned for her husband. We all can think back on our beautiful bride the day we married her, how beautiful she was coming down that aisle. Let me tell you something, that's just a glimpse. That's just a small fraction of what heaven's going to be like as it begins to come into view. In heaven, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in flesh, reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His perfect will is done in heaven, which is why we pray for his will also to be done in earth. Because if we're going to live for him eternally in heaven, we're going to have to learn to live for him here on earth. If we're going to be okay with his will being done eternally in heaven, we're going to have to learn to be okay with his will being done here on the earth. The Lord died for our sins on the cross. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He rose from the dead on the third day, and he graciously provided a way for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ for us to live in heaven with him as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is going to be worth it all. Heaven will be our ultimate gain. Heaven will be our ultimate win. Heaven will be worth it all. In heaven, there is going to be no debating over who God is. Amen. Here, during the third century and the fourth century, we were introduced, amen, to the doctrines of devils and doctrines that confuse people on who Jesus is. But when we get to heaven and we see one sitting on the throne, there's not going to be no confusion on who he is. There'll be no debating over who God is or if God is. Amen. In heaven, everybody worships Jesus Christ as Almighty God, the one who sits on the throne, the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. There will be no debate on who God is or if God is. The purpose for our creation will be fulfilled to the fullest. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when that beautiful morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we're going to tell our story, how we've overcome, and we're going to understand it better by and by. The purpose for God creating us, the purpose for God breathing the breath of life into us, is going to be revealed in its fullest. It's going to be fulfilled to the fullest. The Bible says that John saw a throne set in heaven. And the Bible says that there was only one sitting on that throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. How many know Jesus will be the one that's sitting on that throne? Jesus will be the one that's reigning over all creation. And being with him, being with Jesus, should be our main reason to keep fighting the fight of faith. Keep fighting the good fight. To keep finishing the race. To finish our course. Amen. To know that we're going to live with him eternally. The one who sits on the throne. The one who makes life worth living. Amen. If we're going to praise God on earth, we're going to do it in preparation of what's going to happen in heaven. Amen. I often tell people, if you can't learn to praise him here, you sure enough won't spend eternity praising him there. Amen. But we got to realize today, this life is given to us in preparation for those things which are to come. When John finally saw Jesus as he truly is, he fell down at his feet, the Bible says, as though John were dead. And although John walked with the Lord for 3 years, he finally saw him as who he is. And John promised us one day that we also too would see him for what he is. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Heaven is going to be worth it all. Spending eternity with Jesus is going to be worth every struggle you've ever been through in your life. Don't give up the fight now. Don't throw in the towel now. Don't get discouraged and don't look back to Sodom now. Don't look back to Egypt now, but keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep believing that one day you're gonna experience your ultimate gain. You're going to experience what you have fought and fought and fought for, why you live for God the way you did. Amen. And heaven is going to be worth it all. John also saw 10,000 times, 10,000s and thousands of angels. And he heard them crying out, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then John saw elders. John saw people Jesus had redeemed. John saw people fall down and begin to worship him. John didn't have to wait until he made it to heaven to worship Jesus like the angels and the elders are worshiping in heaven right now. And you don't have to wait to worship Jesus when you get to heaven. You can have the greatest time of your life, spending time in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. Getting yourself in a church that preaches the truth, where you can feel God, you can live for God, and he can be in you and you can be in him. Amen. John saw those elders. John saw the redeemed falling down and worshiping God. Amen. And just like the angels and the elders are worshiping in heaven right now, we praise God here because he's worthy. We praise God here because we are practicing for when we get there. We're getting ready, amen, for our eternal worship session. Amen. And if you love to worship Jesus here, you're going to sure enough love to worship Jesus in heaven. As I get ready to come to a close today, we need to be reminded, church, today that this world is not our home. We need to be reminded in the valley. We need to be reminded even on the mountain. We need to be reminded in the midst of the storm. We need to be reminded in the midst of the trial or the tribulation that this world is not our home. This life is temporary. And what we do here matters. We do it in preparation of eternity. And if we're going to live with him in glory, we're going to have to learn to worship him right now. We're going to have to learn to live a consecrated and a separated life for him right now in preparation for eternity. This world is not our home. This world is simply a time of getting ready. And even in our darkest days here, we are not worthy to be compared to the glory over there. And listen, if you're ready for heaven, continue to faithfully live ready and help others get ready. Don't only be concerned about yourself, but do what Jesus commanded us to do and go out into the highways and the byways. Join the SOS team in welcoming and inviting people to church and reach into the life of someone who's broken and hurting and tell them how wonderful living for God is today. And we need to spend our days helping others get ready for eternity. And if you're not right with God right now, you can respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ the same way that they did in the first century when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" Peter stood up with the boldness of the Holy Ghost and he said, "You must repent. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus and you must be filled with the Spirit." Amen. With the initial sign of speaking in a heavenly language. If you're not right with God today, if you're worried about what eternity holds for you today, if you're worried about what your tomorrow's going to bring today, you can respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can repent of your sins. You can allow God to prick you in your heart. You can be baptized, and you can be baptized into the body of Christ. You can repent of your sins and be filled with the Spirit of the Almighty God. You can respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ today. You can be baptized in His name for the remission of your sins. You can receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. It is the way we are born again today. It is the way we have clear conscience with God today. It is the way we are made right with God today. It's the way that we're made ready for our ultimate gain. Our ultimate gain will be to make heaven our home. So I encourage you on this beautiful Sunday to keep fighting the good fight. Keep walking with God with everything that is within you. Keep holding on with everything inside of you. Don't let discouragement settle in. Don't let disappointment persuade you. But listen, don't be moved by all of these things. Keep your eyes on heaven today. Keep your eyes on the Lord today, because heaven is going to be your ultimate gain. We love you today. We pray that you, if you are not in church, you find yourself a good church, a truth preaching church, a church where you can find God, where you can live for God, you can be blessed by God. Amen. But I encourage everyone who's listening today to hold on. Hold on. Don't get discouraged. Keep looking towards that glimpse of heaven that you've gotten. John caught a glimpse on the Isle of Patmos. John caught a glimpse of who Jesus really is. John saw the only one there is sitting on that throne. And today we got to hold on to that glimpse of glory, because heaven's going to be worth it all. We pray God's blessing. We pray God's speed on your life. We pray that you're blessed today in Jesus' name. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.